Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. Heavenly Father, we would ask, Lord, that you would please help us as we teach on this important subject, wrapped up these now many Sunday nights that we've come and brought these messages. As we conclude this series tonight, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen in our midst, Lord, because of the Bible that we've learned. You'd strengthen, dear God, biblical masculinity, both in our aged men, but also, Lord, as it's being developed and trained into our younger men, I pray that they would take these tenets, Lord, and set them as principles from the Bible and aspire, Lord, to fulfill them in their own life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'll get to this portion of Scripture in just a second. Let me just mention this other tenet that I'm not really going to develop. I am going to probably at some time preach on it or teach on it, but not tonight. It's probably, again, one of those single points in this series that could be developed into a series of messages, but let me give it to you. And it's taught, of course, out of 1 Samuel 17. You'll be familiar with the story. Young men should be taught to face and topple giants. Young men should be taught to face and topple giants. Let me just read the account. I'll get you thinking about it, and then we're going to give you something during the week to kind of ponder. But we read the story, of course, 1 Samuel 17. When you hear that chapter, you think of who? David and Goliath. There you go. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Notice what he said, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog, and thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And you know the story, one of the most famous stories of the Bible, of a young man, a man that was in his youth, a man that was disdained because of his age, because he was still in his youth. A young man whom I believe, according to what the Scripture teaches, had to be younger than 20 years of age, because at 20 years of age, young men of Israel were allowed to go to battle. He was not allowed. He was held back. So David, in his teenage years, wins this amazing battle. Now, young men, I'm not going to go into it, because if I get started, I'll never get stopped. But young men, you have to be taught to face and topple giants. Sometime during your years, and when I say young men, I'm not just preaching to teenagers. I've tried to define that as young men from 12 to 30 years of age. But in that stretch, I promise you, there's going to be Goliaths that raise up, and you have to learn to courageously face them. You have to learn to go out into the battlefield. You have to learn to win victories. You have to learn that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's, and to operate in his strength and his power, but to show courage when other men are not courageous, to be willing to go when other men cower in fear. And young men, you're going to have to face some giants in your youth. Some of these giants, folks, come from within us, young men. Some of these giants come from without. But they have to be faced down, and they have to be, victories have to be won. And you know what? That day, a legend was born, and a king was on the potter's wheel being formed. And David, because he was willing to go, became a man after God's own heart. And so, young men, we'll teach you a little bit more about that in the future, and we're covering some things in our Christian school about it. We'll be this semester. But young men should be taught to face and topple giants in their youth. Now we're back to Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 27. I'm going to give you three principles to close out our study on biblical tenets of Bible masculinity. In Lamentation chapter 3 verse 27, we read this: "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Here's the principle. Young men should understand the importance of bearing a yoke in their youth and the danger of an unequal yoke. Young men should understand the importance of bearing a yoke in their youth and the danger of an unequal yoke. Now, the Bible says here, it's good. It's a good thing for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Young men, it's important in your youth that you understand the yoke principle and the importance of it. Now, let me remind you of another verse that I think partners with this verse that we read back at the beginning of this study in Proverbs 20, verse 27. "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." Let me say it again. "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." What a wonderful thing when the strength of a young man is yoked together and guided by the wisdom of an older man. What a wonderful thing when the strength of a young man is yoked together and guided by the wisdom of an older man. Now, one of the ways that you're going to be brought into masculinity and learn biblical masculinity is that you willingly put yourself in a yoked type situation with a man, an aged man that has experience and the wisdom and godliness that'll help to teach you the things of the Lord and how to serve the Lord. And so we see this wonderful combination, these things happening. We live in a time where the culture, and one of the things that Satan's attacked in our young people is this idea, and I'm not saying our young people, but young people across America, he's tried to attack this idea of wanting to be with older men and wanting to learn from older men. Well, I just want to hang out with my guys. I just want to hang out with my peers. I just want to be with my friends. And anybody older than me, I don't want to listen to. And I don't want to be influenced. I don't want to take time to spend time with grandpa and dad and older godly men. But you will never be brought into maturity, biblical maturity, biblical masculinity, by hanging out with your buddies. You have to put yourself in yoke situations. Now, a lot of times when they're training young oxen to pull, what they would do is take the yoke, which is an instrument, wooden instrument, that harnesses two together, takes the strength of two and combines them into one. And it's an amazing situation. They would take a younger oxen that's old enough and ready to be put into the yoke, and they would not pair him with another inexperienced younger oxen that doesn't know what he's doing. Now, you can do that, but I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you're pulling, you better be holding on for dear life, because they're not going to understand. They're not going to get it. But if you yoke a younger oxen with an older oxen that's experienced and knows the commands of the master and has the experience and the proven record to pull a straight plow and make a straight furrow. And you know what? That young one will start acting up from time to time. And you know, you ask some of these guys that are old enough to remember when they used to use these things. We've got some, thank God, in our church that do. Sometimes that older one would just kind of reach over and kick that younger one real hard. You know what he's saying? He's saying, stop trying to go your way. You need to go my way. And they would learn together. And soon, that young oxen, just by being in the proximity, in the presence, to be yoked up together. Folks, not so much is taught, but you know, this statement, you know, a lot of things, most important things in life are more caught than taught. Just being with him, just being around him, just pulling with him, just having the experience of that, he begins to learn some things, and that's what the Bible is teaching here. It's a good thing, young man. Listen, it's a good thing when you take advantages of yoke opportunities. Now, what you're going to have to be careful of is the devil will offer you a yoke also. And he wants you to yoke up with some folks that will teach you the wrong way. He wants you to yoke up with some folks that are proud and arrogant and rebellious, and you know what? Wants to scorn, be a scorner against the Word of God and the ways of God. And that's why we have the caution in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" And so when we take our young men, parents, listen to me, you're going to stand before God, you're going to stand before Him as the one responsible for the decisions while they're in your home. And if you allow your young men to be yoked up with unbelievers, and to be tutored and taught by unbelievers. See, Christian school for me is not just, oh, well, it's an option. No, it's a conviction with me. I'm not going to take those babies that God put in our house, drop them off at a place, and say, I want you to spend 8 hours yoked together, because it's impossible to teach without a student becoming in a yoke with a teacher. While they're in that classroom, they are yoked. Okay, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You know what? A teacher must yoke with a student in order for them to learn. Now, I'm not going to yoke my young people, my children that God entrusted with me, with lost people. Period. End of statement. I'm not going to take them to some sporting thing. I'm not going to yoke them with a coach and listen to him swear and use God's name in vain, and put him into the example of some coach that won't even darken the door of a church. But, you know, your son needs to learn to play baseball. That's more important than anything else in the world. I mean, good night. That's the Almighty God of Jacksonville, Indiana, and Shackamack School Corporation. No, what you need to do, listen, you're going to answer to God for it. You're going to answer to God for who you yoke your young people with. Now, young men, listen to me. Don't you get in a yoke with unbelievers. Don't you team up with unbelievers. Don't you come into close friendships, young ladies, with unbelievers. You say, "Well, that's my best friend." Well, is it a godly person? Are they a believer? And if not, you're yoking yourself to someone who's going to have influence with you. Now, a wise young man doesn't buck against the yoke. He doesn't run from the yoke. He understands it's a part of the process of learning and being trained. Yoke teams up a young ox with a more experienced ox, thus giving him the opportunity to learn while he pulls. Learn while you pull. The best place to learn, folks, is in the yoke. You know, there's a time for verbal instruction, but the honest truth is most of us have learned more from practical training than we do verbal instruction. And I can tell you this, men are wired that way. They're just wired that way. It's good to teach. It's good to give verbal instruction. But you know what? The best way to teach them is say, "Come on, come with me. Now do this." "Well, I don't know how." "I know you don't know how. That's why I'm standing here. Now listen to what I have to say. I'll help you, and I'll get you through it. But listen to me and do what I say. And you know what? Won't be very long that young man will have mastered that. Now, young men and parents, listen to me. Be careful about this. I've watched our young people, good young people, sometimes get off into a wrong road and off into a wrong direction just because we are allowing in some area of their life an unequal yoke to develop, an unequal yoke. Be careful who has influence over your children. Be careful who has influence over your young men and your young ladies. And guard that very carefully. So young men should understand the importance of bearing a yoke in their youth and the danger of an unequal yoke. Now let me have you go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and we'll give you the next point. And these two points are kind of married together to each other. And so we'll go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now young men, I've been giving you a lot of instruction. I'm going to give some instruction to the older men. But the honest truth is, this verse has more to do with you young men than the older men. But I do want to caution all of us who are supposed to be a part of providing young men some instruction. I want to caution you about something that the Bible speaks to here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. Notice what it says here. He's speaking to Timothy, a young man in the faith, a young man in the ministry, and he says this, "Let no man despise thy youth." Now the word despise there doesn't mean hate. We use it sometimes now in this time and age. "Well, I despise that person. I despise this." We're talking about hate. Let no man despise. The Bible word's talking about undervalue here. Esau despised his birthright. We know that he undervalued it because he sold it for a little bowl of soup. So what he's saying is this: men, older men, their natural inclination sometimes is to undervalue you because you're young, undervalue you, your youth. And I do want to caution our older men, be careful that you don't undervalue. Oh, preacher, but they don't know this, and they do this wrong, and I know, and some older man was looking at you when you were their age saying the same thing about you, okay? And so we've all got to learn, and we've all got to experience the training process. But what Paul is teaching here to Timothy is this. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Now, what instruction follows that? He doesn't say, when they do that, bawl them out or call them on it. You know what he says? He said, this is how you keep older men from despising you or undervaluing you or looking at you, at your youth, as something that's a hindrance instead of a help. This is how you do it. How do I keep older men? How do I gain the respect? Let me put it that way. How do I gain the respect of older men? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And so, you young men, the challenge comes upon you that if you want to gain the respect of an older man, you're going to have to set forth an example in some areas of your life that's going to gain their respect. Okay? Now look right up here and listen to me. If you don't have if you're not working towards these things and you're not an example of the believer in these areas of your life, don't expect to have the respect of older men. They're not required in this verse to respect you just because the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. You gain respect by the example that you set and by winning the respect of older men. Now, how do I win the respect of older men? All right, let me give you the principle. Young men should counter the natural inclination of older men to undervalue their youthfulness by showing stellar character in six important areas. And my goodness, there's no way we're going to detail these tonight, but let me list them for you, and then you can buy a copy of The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ and have all of these six things properly fleshed out. I'll give you a great deal on one. I think we got a Christmas special going, $50 a book right now. And yes, amen. I got to pay for my wife's Kroger credit gift card that I bought the other night for Christmas. She's pretty excited about that. Thank you. Amen. But here it is. Now, this is what older men are going to do. They're going to watch you. Young men, listen to me. They may never say a word to you. They're probably not going to. Every once in a while, you irritate them enough, they will, and they should. I have no problem. I deputized everybody in here here a while back. I said, men, raise your right. I'm deputizing. You see a young man around here acting like a knucklehead, you got a right to call him down on him. Mamas, just huff and puff all you want to. You come and say, well, I can't. So-and-so said this about my kid. Well, you know what? Too bad. You want him to be a man or you want him to be a wimp? Okay, in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the older men. It's not going to be ruled by a bunch of punks, a bunch of heathen around here. We're not. We're just not. Okay, you want to be a punk? That's your goal in life? That's all you care about is every day? Let me see if I can show up to school or show up to church and be a punk. You know what? You're not going to last around here very long, and you're not going to have the respect of anybody, any man in this church. Now, your little group of knucklehead friends might be real impressed by you, but you know what? You ain't worth a spit in the wind. Okay? You're just not worth a spit in the wind. Somebody needs to take a number 10 and a half and just take you around the building about three times. Get some of that nonsense out of you. I don't understand mamas that put up with this. I don't understand daddies that put up with this in the home. Now listen to me and hear me out. You want my respect as a young man? Then I'm going to listen to what you say. Be thou an example of the believer in word. Excellent speech. In conversation, mature behavior. In charity, selfless love. In spirit, proper attitude. In faith, sincere faith. And in purity, wholesome purity. So when I look at a young man, I evaluate that young man and where he's at in life based on these six areas of his life. I listen to what he says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Excellent speech. So you know what? You want to walk around, you know, dude in this and rolling this and, you know, scorning this and criticizing, you know, all that filth come out of your mouth and talking about this borderline pervert. You know what? Any man in here, any Christian man in here, listens to that for about 2 seconds and says, what a punk. Yes, sir. Kid needs to grow up. Somebody needs to take that boy to the woodshed. Yep. Okay, like I said, if you want to, you know, you want to hang out in the parking lots in Lenten, they're all impressed with that down there. But they're not men. If you want to gain the respect of men, you know what? You better learn to use this thing right. There's things you say and there's things you don't say. They're going to listen to whether or not you speak, and what you speak is always a little filthy, a little borderline. You know what? You know what? That's the talk of lost people. That's not the talk of saved people. They're going to listen to you whether or not you're honest or whether or not you're a liar. Whether or not you're walking around like a you know, 90-year-old gossiping woman criticizing everything. Or whether you're speaking men's words. Talk like a man. Okay, say the things men would say, Christian men would say. And if you don't learn to get that correct, listen, good night, folks. I'm listening to 25, 30, 35-year-old guys out here that are still talking like a bunch of punks. Just talking like a bunch of punks. You know what? I don't have 1 ounce of respect for. I think to myself, what a waste. Here you are halfway through your life. You don't even figure out how to talk. You've never even gained control of your tongue. And so excellent speech, mature behavior. Conversation there, of course, means lifestyle, behavior. You be an example of the believer. So you know what? Men are not only going to listen to what you say, they're going to watch how you behave. And if you're running around, you know, wrestling around in the foyer area before church like elementary kids, and you're 16, 17 years old. You know, I've said this before. Can you imagine watching Bob Townsley and Charles English get into a wrestling match? In the foyer? Hey, man, I'd kind of like to see that. We could sell tickets to that thing, man. I'd say they're both off their meds. They've gone crazy. What in the world, you know? Now, you know what? You guys, if you saw that, would think, what is wrong with them? That's what they think when they see you do it. Now, stop looking at other guys your age and watch how they behave. Oh, that's funny. And I'm going to do that. Why don't you look at men? Why don't you watch the behavior of godly men? Why don't you start mimicking men? And so mature behavior, selfless love. Selfless love. See, it says in charity there, the word charity in the Bible is, of course, speaking of the attribute of love, agape love. God love is a selfish love. God love is a selfish love. We have a lot of love in this culture, in this younger generation, but it fits the prediction we could find here in 2 Timothy concerning end time sins, where it says men shall be lovers of their own selves. All right, look up here. Let me just fix a lot of things. That if you'd listen to me, and some of you aren't because it's always somebody else's fault. You know what your problem is? You're stinking selfish. You know why you're struggling in your marriage? You're stinking selfish. You know why you have a hard time at a job? Because you're stinking selfish. You know why you're walking around having a pity party all the time? Because you're stinking selfish. You're so in love with you that you just can't understand why the whole world isn't also. Now, what I don't want to see in a young person is I do want to see you get to the point where, you know what, listen, folks, that's how children behave. You know what? That's what goes on in the nursery. Well, he took my toy. So he pushed the kid down, take the toy back. But I'm sorry, I'm watching 20-year-olds do that. No, I am. I'm watching 30-year-olds do that with their wives. And she took my toy. Come on. Come on, grow up. You're not going to have the respect of men. You know what men do? Let me tell you what men do. Men love their wives. They're not in love with themselves, they love their wives. Men love their children. Men love the Lord. Men love others. They're looking out for other people. They care about other people. You know what? Men grow out of that little selfish stuff. They're not looking around for somebody to do something for them all the time. They're not wanting to sit around saying, well, it's not fair if this person, well, I don't understand. You know what they say? They say, you know what? My job is to love as Christ loved me. Love my wife as Christ loved me. I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. And so you start seeing this where young people, listen, it's not about you anymore. You look at a situation, watching a situation. You're not thinking, what's good for me? You're thinking about what's good for the other people. What can I do to be a blessing? You don't walk in and say, well, if she would just understand, you know, if she don't get what I need, why don't you figure out what she needs? Well, my kids, I'm a grown man. My kids don't love me. That's because they're in line. They can't get past your love for you. I never have that. I don't evaluate people based on that. Listen, I sat at home, sat in my office going to the church director. I wonder if they love me. I don't think they love me very much. I mean, good night. Somebody ought to come with a paddy wagon, put me in it, put me in a straitjacket somewhere if I get to that. It's not what it's about. Now, man, I could help you. This could be absolute revival time, revolutionize your life. But you know what? You're not going to have the respect of men. That's what men look for. They look for excellent speech. They look for mature behavior, selfless love, proper attitude, example of spirit. Your attitude is so important. Okay, clean your attitude up. Sincere faith. You know, sincere faith, an example of sincere faith. Is this whole church thing just a big joke to you? I mean, is God just whatever? Okay? I mean, you're just playing the game, going through the motions, joke church, but behind the scenes, you're a stinking heathen. Faith isn't sincere. And wholesome purity. Now, young men, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. You cross some lines, what I'm talking about right now, and you lose respect of men. Now, you might gain respect in the locker room of a public school, but you're going to lose respect of men. Okay, you keep yourself pure. I watch a young man, he's always standing a little too close to the girls, always flirting a little too much, can't keep his hands to himself. You know what? I don't have any respect for that guy. Matter of fact, I got my eye on that guy. I'm watching that guy. Okay? Get this matter of purity settled in your life. Be pure. And so, where do I learn these? Preacher, I'm struggling with some of these here. I'm not beating you up. I'm saying you have to grow through this. You have to go from immaturity in your elementary years to maturity during these young men. I know it doesn't. You just don't flip a switch and all this comes off. Where do I learn this? You learn it by getting in a yoke. You learn it by being around men of excellent speech. You learn it by being around and mimicking men of mature behavior. You learn it by being around men that exhibit selfless love. You learn it by being around men with proper attitude. You learn it by praying with men and serving with men of sincere faith. You learn it. Are you listening to me, older men? We cannot set an example for our young people of anything but wholesome purity. Wholesome purity. Wholesome purity. He says to Timothy, let no man undervalue your youthfulness. But let me tell you how you keep them from doing that. You be an example of the believer in these six areas of your life. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. And I'll give you the last of the points we'll cover. This will be something simple to do, very practical to do. And I think the timing of this here at the beginning of a new year will help you in your Christian life. In the very first chapter of Proverbs, as we're giving the introductory verses, we see something presented to young men. Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. Now, these are the purposes or the reasons that these proverbs are being pinned down. This is why, the wise. Why collect these proverbs? What value do they have? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Here's what it says. A wise man will hear. Hear what? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. That can be applied to all of the Word of God. I'll go that far with you, but specifically, this is what it's talking about. It's saying these proverbs in this book that God inspired Solomon to write down. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And so, one of the purposes listed here, as far as the introductory verses, the purposes of the Proverbs is this: to give subtlety to the simple and to the wise man knowledge and discretion. Let me take you over to chapter 7 real quick. Hold your place there in chapter 1. Chapter 7, we won't read the whole chapter, but this chapter is an eyewitness account of a seduction. But I want you to know who the victim is and why he was a victim. Chapter 1, verse 1, My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. And say unto wisdom, Thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the what? I discerned among the youths a young man what? I don't think he spent any time reading Proverbs. I don't think he spent time with older men who had the wisdom of Proverbs, that would teach the wisdom of Proverbs. Now, young men, let me give you something very practical as we go into a new year. Young men should live in the book of Proverbs so that they can develop knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and discretion. There's no better recommendation I can give to you young men in this matter of protecting you during your youth from the predator that's out there. And by the way, young ladies, I would extend this to you, because it's not just young ladies that are predators, it's young men that are predators. And you need to have subtlety. You need to have knowledge and discretion. You need wisdom. And you need to understand and receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. You need to know wisdom instruction. You need to perceive the words of understanding. If you get this book, and you can live in this book and master this book and love this book and glean from this book, and I promise you it's going to build a protective hedge about you in your young years. So the practical recommendation I'm going to give you going into 2012 as we conclude the message here is that if I was a young person, and if I say this to anybody that asks me, Preacher, as a young person, what would you suggest that I spend time in as far as reading the Bible, extra time in the Bible, the book of Proverbs? I always say the book of Proverbs and the four Gospels, walk with Christ in the four Gospels, and walk in wisdom, which is still walking with Christ in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is set up in 31 chapters. And so in the average month, most months, you can just read one proverb, match it to the day. On January 1st, boy, I'd like a young man to get this. How many times have I said this? Young man, how many times have you heard me say this? And how many times have it just went, whoosh, whoosh? You know what? There's a man in a yoke up here that knows what I'm talking about. Why don't you join me in this yoke? Okay? Get in it. That means January 1st. You know what? You open your Bible and you read Proverbs chapter number 1. And I don't mean just, let's see how fast I can read it so I can say I've done it. I mean you slow down and you say, Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to need wisdom. I'm getting ready to walk out there. And if I'm simple, I'll become a victim. If I'm void of understanding, I'm going to make a huge mistake that's going to run the rest of my life. I'll end up in the chambers of hell. I'll end up as an ox going to the slaughter. Read the last few verses of Proverbs chapter 7. My life and my potential can be destroyed. And so I need to get into this book. And Lord, I'm going to read it slowly. And I'm going to read it carefully. And I'm going to study. And I'm going to write some things to meditate on. And I'm going to write down some things to ask an older man about if I don't understand what a certain verse is saying. And I'm going to gain the wisdom of this book. Because one of the reasons you put this book in your book is because you know that a young man needs to increase in learning, increase in understanding. This book will give you, young men, knowledge and discretion. It'll give subtlety to the simple so that you don't become a victim in Proverbs chapter number 7. And so spend 2012, young men, young ladies, live in the book of Proverbs. Live in that book. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've been able to spend together in this study, Lord, and all that we've learned. It's been a lot. There's a lot to think about. Lord, many times we've just mentioned, not gone very deep because of the number of things we covered. But these 20 tenets of biblical masculinity, dear God, may we, as men, may we reach out and grasp hold of them, make them a part of our lives. May we allow them to form us into the image of Christ. And Lord, to give it what this world needs, some biblical, Bible-based men, real men, godly men, men of God, Lord, that'll set an example for a culture that's desperately in need of an example. Pray these things in Jesus' name.